I would, let me get this out of the way first. Thank you for making reservations for being here today. You can tell we're starting to fill up a little bit more. It's going to be important that we continue to make reservations so we can balance out the services and make sure everyone gets a seat. So thank you for that. And again, we have the hand sanitizers placed about the building. And please feel free to make use of that. We have with us some special folks today to help with this installation service that we're having. As you look down the as you look down your bulletin, you'll see after the hymn "In Christ Alone," we'll have a prayer, and then we'll come to the installation of Reverend Patrick Womack, who is now here with us. We're going to have Lucas Tanner is going to ask some questions and participate. Lucas is the RUF pastor at Florida Gulf Coast University. And then we're going to have Mike Collins come and give a charge. And then we're going to have Matt Lovell address you as a congregation with some questions. I'm going to say a few words, and you all know that it's going to be more than a few words. and then we'll have a brief prayer, and we'll let Patrick conclude us with a benediction. So it's going to be a wonderful day, and it begins a new era for our church, and so we're grateful for them. Let me see what else I got here that I didn't tell you that I'm going to wish I did later. Oh boy, yes, I almost missed this one. January 9th is our annual meeting this year.
June
the 9th is going to be. I don't know how I could read. And it says June the 9th on it, and somehow that comes into my eyeballs as January the 9th. But on June the 9th, we're going to have our annual meeting. Typically, our annual meeting is the second Wednesday of April. But that was right in the middle of the lockdown, and we didn't think it was appropriate to do it then. So we're going to have it on June the 9th. We'll have some the business of the church. We'll review the year past and where we are this year, and then we'll elect some elders, and that will be our business for the day. That's going to be Tuesday, June the 9th, which is not this coming Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday. It's going to be at, what does that say? 6:30? That's what time it's going to be, 6:30. If it's in writing, that's what it is, 6:30. Okay, hope you're tuning into our devotionals during the week. Some people have said they like them, and so you might like them too if you haven't already. And I think that's going to be it. And let's take a few moments now to prepare our hearts for worship.
Morning, everyone. What a beautiful, beautiful day, and what a special day it is today for Bay Presbyterian, and we're glad to see everyone here. Now, if you would join me by reading responsively, we will have our call to worship. Today it's from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people.
Sing to him, sing praises.
Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad.
Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually.
Today we have sought to fill the service with some of Patrick's favorite hymns. This is one of them which we share as well. Would you stand with me and sing together, "And Can It Be That I Should Give"?
I'm
Father, we thank you today for the privilege of being in the presence of such amazing love. God, we thank you that we can worship you today, that we can proclaim with our hearts together and in one voice that you are an awesome God. There is no other. God, we pray that you'd be with us and in us and among us today. And as we leave this place, we would know that we have been in the presence of Almighty God. Hear us, O God. We make our prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who lived and died and rose again, and who, while on this earth, taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated.
This is the reading of the Word of God, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Once again, I thank you all for your generosity and helping the church to pay the electric company and keep things operating here. The plate is over here by the door on the way out if you care to make a contribution. Patrick's story is that he was undecided about whether or not he was going to go into the ministry. And then he, in church, he was listening to a sermon and then sang a song that we're a little bit familiar with here. And as he listened to the last words of that song, that's when he decided, this is what I need to do. I need to go into the ministry and serve the Lord there. So I'd like for you all to kind of soak in these words. Keep your seats and soak in these words as Gordon leads us. Thank you.
Would the congregation now please stand and sing In Christ Alone, a beautiful song, a more contemporary song associated with the Gettys. In Christ Alone, love the story that it paints here. Sing it together. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm from the fiercest drought and storm.
You have a prayer sheet in your bulletin. I'd ask you to pull that out. Take a look at that. Pick out two or three of these for which you'd pray. Want to have a special, like for you to pray for Michelle, for Judy's Judy Malone's daughter, Michelle, who has had COVID and is struggling with it right now. And pray for her, please. And for last week, we introduced you to Savannah and to Jet. You could continue to pray for them as well. And my neighbor, Jeff Baker, who's on the prayer sheet, if you could pray for him, continue to pray for him. He had a couple of holes bored into his skull this last week for that as a procedure for Parkinson's. And I'd ask for your prayers for him too. So pick out two or three of these for what you'd pray. I would also point out that we have sitting with us Matt Lovell, who's the third one down, and then Lucas Tanner, who's a little bit more than halfway down our list of ministries, and pray for these several ministries. And I'll close this after time. Let's go to God in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can pray, that we're not left defensively on a hostile planet, but God, you have given us a resource which indeed should be our first resource instead of our last resort. But God, we confess to you that too often we wait until the very end till we pray. But God, we pray now that as we are gathered here today, in one mind, God, we are praying as John Kiptick called and asked for us to pray for an end to this terrible pandemic. And God, we pray that you would put an end to it. For all those who are struggling with it, including Michelle, Judy's daughter, God, we pray that you would give them the strength and the immunity wherewithal to fight this off, and that you would not allow them to be permanently debilitated from it, God. God, we pray for our military who are facing their own challenges, and we pray that you would bring blessing to them and success and safety. We pray the same for our first responders. God, it's been a terrible week for first responders. And God, we pray that you'd bring peace to the cities where there's violence and degradation and a loss of life and property. God, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, bring a blanket of peace over this country. I join my prayer with the hearts of pastors right now who are praying across the country for this very thing, and pray that you bring it about. God, we pray for those who are struggling with illnesses, and we just pray that you'd intervene for them and that they would have strength to do the tasks of the day. We pray that you'd bring blessing to them, that you would draw near to them, and that they would sense that you are present with them. Thank you for the ministries that we can participate with, and pray for Derek and Catalina as they are bringing the gospel in Romania, and then for Love Inc., our local assistance program. God, we pray that you would bless folks through that good ministry and that Christ would be glorified there. God, as we continue in this service, we pray that you would be evident and that we would know your presence with us. Thank you, God, that you would deign to meet with us. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus, who is our strong Savior. Amen. Well, this next part is a little different than what we normally do. And so I just want to give you a little bit of a, just kind of walk through it a little bit with you. And what we're going to do now is we're going to install, you have voted for and elected Patrick to be our associate pastor here at Bay Presbyterian Church, and now we want to install him in that spot. And so we have some, Lucas and Matt are going to be our resident dignitaries from the presbytery. You probably haven't been dignitaries too many times, but today you are dignitaries. And so they're going to help us out. Lucas is going to come first and ask some questions of Patrick. And I'm going to ask Patrick and Kathy if you'd come over here. That way the folks across the country can see them as all this unfolds. And Lucas is going to ask Patrick some questions, and then Mike Collins is going to come and give a charge to Patrick, and then Matt is going to ask you, the congregation, some questions, and then I'm going to preach a short sermon. And then we're going to have a time of prayer over Patrick, and then we're going to have a final song. Oh, but Tom's going to pray for him first. And then we'll have a final song, and then Patrick will give the benediction. But let's see how it plays out here. Lucas, I'm going to ask you to come and...
What should you want?
I'll stay here.
Okay.
All right, Patrick, I have the privilege of asking you these installation questions. Would you please stand? Are you now willing to serve this congregation as their associate pastor, agreeable to your declaration and accepting its call? Are you?
Yes, I am.
Do you conscientiously believe and declare, as far as you know in your heart, that in taking upon you this charge, you are influenced by a sincere desire to promote the glory of God and the good of the church? Do you?
Yes, I do.
Do you solemnly promise that by the assistance of the grace of God, you will endeavor faithfully to discharge all the duties of a pastor to this congregation and will be careful to maintain a deportment in all respects, becoming a minister of the gospel of Christ, agreeable to your ordination engagements? Do you?
Now I'm going to ask Mike Collins to come up and give a charge to the new pastor. And as we do this, I would want to point out to you that Mike served as the chairman of our pulpit committee, and that's a huge task. He listened to, my guess, hundreds of hours of sermons, some better than others. And Mike led that committee, and he brought us to this place. So thank you very much, Mike. We owe you a debt of gratitude, and we appreciate you sharing with Patrick now.
And I thank the committee. It wasn't just my work. There was much work done by members of the committee, and I see some of them sitting in here this morning. So, Patrick, before this congregation and before Almighty God, we charge you with 7 pastoral activities that identifies your ministry to this congregation. First, preach Christ. Patrick, proclaim the word of God with urgency and conviction, bringing it to bear on the changing needs of this congregation, the community, and the world. Paul's charge to Timothy in the second letter to Timothy states, I give you this charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. We, this congregation, beseech you to preach with patience. Preach pointedly. We are tough. We can take whatever you can give. Preach with sensitivity. Get to know our church family. Love this family and bring that to your messages. Preach with humor. Often the humorous side of things makes us better listeners. Preach the Bible. We are hungry for the Bible. Give us the whole counsel of God. Second, teach the word of God. Patrick, be active in a teaching role, interpreting and teaching scriptures, theological concepts, in church history. Provide leadership in developing effective evangelism programs that seek to lead others within and outside the church to accept Jesus Christ. provide instruction for candidates to session, our educational leaders, and new members. Teach the Bible with confidence, understanding, patience, and encouragement. Paul's letter to Titus says, "Hold firm to the trustworthy message that you were taught so that you may be able to teach sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." And to Timothy, Paul writes, "You then, my son, be strong by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, teach to other faithful men who will then be qualified to teach others." Third, conduct worship leadership. Patrick, strive to work with the other pastors, the music worship leadership, session, the audio-visual team, and all other church leadership to provide a rich worship service that educates the congregation and provides for meaningful congregational participation. Fourth, congregational care. Patrick, work in unison with the Congregational Care Committee to maintain and carry out a systematic plan for visitation and assistance for congregational members with special needs. Visit those in hospitals or emergency situations and keep the church family informed of crisis situations and the needs of the ill and bereaved. Fifth, missions. Patrick, be aware of the opportunity for involvement in the church's worldwide missions. Identify specific projects and challenge persons to support. Study and visit worldwide mission programs. Sixth, administrative leadership. Patrick, accept appropriate administrative responsibilities. That includes delegated tasks and shared responsibilities with the other employed staff to use your skills and ideas towards maintaining and developing administrative accountability. Seventh, love God. Patrick, be an example to us and to this community by showing how the love of God radiates from your being. We look forward to your pastoral leadership here at Bay Presbyterian Church and welcome your partnership in the gospel.
Now, I would like to ask Reverend Matt Lovell to come forward and ask us as a congregation some questions.
Now, you as a congregation, just as we heard the charge to Patrick and his affirmation, also receive questions. And these questions are to you because you play a vital role in the health of Patrick and his ministry is service to you, so it's this reciprocal nature. And it's for God's glory, it's for your good and his good and the family, their good, but it's also for a witness to the neighborhood around here, so they might know of God's grace and mercy as well. So I ask you these questions, and if you affirm them, raise your hand. Do you, the people of this congregation, continue to profess your readiness to receive Patrick Womack? If so, raise your hand. Do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with meekness and love and to submit to him in the due exercise of discipline? If so, raise your hand. Do you promise to encourage him in his labors and to assist his endeavors for your instruction in spiritual edification? If so, raise your right hand. And do you engage to continue to him while he is your pastor, that competent worldly maintenance which you have promised, and to furnish him with whatever you may see needful for the honor of religion and for his comfort among you. If so, raise your hand.
Well, we got more time than I thought. Well, your elders wisely set a course 3 years ago, plus or minus 3 years, to begin a search for an associate pastor here at Bay. They wanted someone with experience, someone with maturity, someone who had a record of leadership, who had a heart for God and a love for his people. And as a session, that is our elder board, in order to find a good match for our needs, we conducted a thorough review and tweaking of our vision, our mission, and our core values, which you could find in our bulletin. It has our vision, a community loving and worshiping God, loving and serving our neighbor, our mission, teaching the good news of Jesus Christ, encouraging people in their faith, and equipping them to go into the world to meet spiritual and physical needs. And we looked through the values that we have as a church as well. After all, we wanted someone who was all in with our vision and our perceived mission and reflected our values. And so the search was on, and it started out with Rachel and I. We were put up some bait. It was, we actually put out some requests for if people are interested in this type of church to respond to us. And we got in, I can't remember how many resumes we got in, and we got several resumes in. And then my brother died, and I was required to spend quite a bit of time trying to get all that taken care of. And so I went to Mike, and we had just appointed a very strong pulpit committee of three women and three men. And I asked Mike to take charge. I asked him to take the lead of that pulpit committee. And Mike did a great job. The committee did a great job working together. And they went about, 6 months, plus or minus 6 months, and they went right to work, and they listened to a lot of sermons, because by this time the resumes were pretty much pouring in. And at the end of the process, the committee came up with hardly any recommendations. It became apparent that we were going to have to expand our selection base at that point. Now, at that time, Patrick, to the best of my knowledge, was not really looking for a new position. And but in our congregation, we had the friend of a friend who made an introduction for us, and as his credentials and his resume and his the things that he is interested in, as those things came to our attention, we realized that this one was head and shoulders more suitable for us than anybody else that we had seen. And then we checked out his references. Several of his references were people that I knew and respected. And I want to share with you some of the comments that came back. He is a humble man. And in the next couple of minutes, I'm going to probably wreck that. Because his other references said that he is often in demand as a missions conference speaker. He is an incomparable pastor. I was kind of offended by that. I'd like to think he was comparable to me anyway. I was told that he was the best preacher in his graduating class at seminary, that he was a great encourager, that he inspired loyalty. And then another pastor with whom I am friendly, pastor is an associate up in Orlando, said that he thinks as highly of Patrick as anyone that he knew. And then, after we had come to an agreement and Patrick was going to come here to conduct his ministry, I got a phone call. It was an unsolicited phone call from a friend of mine that has a megachurch in Alabama. And he said that we have an exception. I'm looking for the quote. He was an exceptional young man. Now, young is negotiable. And in our church, let's be honest about that. But all this to say is that I have come to agree with all of these assessments of Patrick, and we do have an exceptional man that is with us now, and it portends a great future for us. So here we are, now 3+ years down the road from where we first started. And my role is to speak to you as a congregation about how do we receive such a pastor. And I happen to think about you the same way that Patrick's references think about him. I think of you as being a warm, generous, committed, loving, and caring people, individually and collectively. You've been exceptional through the years, and particularly through this coronavirus thing. And now we're beginning to put things back together here. And as we do so, we have the benefit of having an additional set of hands. And so we appreciate Patrick and Kathy and what they will bring to our church. And Mike referenced a passage, a scripture, in his charge to Patrick. It's in 1 Thessalonians 2, which had to do with how a pastor should comport himself. But I want to follow that up in the same passage. And since the founding of this of the church in Jesus' day, pastors have arrived, they've conducted their ministry, and they've departed. And that's been going on for about 2,000 years now. And Jesus appointed the apostles to kick off that movement. Then they too would pass the baton. Paul had Timothy fill in various places. Silas and Titus were good helpers in this way as well. And Paul and Barnabas were the first to push off planting churches in the fertile soil of the Roman Empire. They would later have a bit of a disagreement, Paul and Barnabas, and go in separate directions. But in doing so, they got twice as much done. Barnabas and Mark went one way. Paul and Silas went another way. And Paul and Silas went to Philippi and ended up in the slammer until God sprung them. And then Paul and Silas went to Thessalonica after that, which is our eastern Turkey. And Paul and Silas preached in the synagogues for 3 weeks. You know, it's interesting as you study the places where Paul went to start churches. And he was for about a year in Corinth. He was about 3 years in Ephesus. He was 3 weeks in Thessalonica. And after preaching in the synagogues for 3 weeks, there's some jealousy that was due to the favorable response that they were getting as they preached the gospel. And Paul and Silas were threatened. Their lives were threatened. So they left under cover of darkness. They left, and they went over to Berea. And I want to read to you one passage, one short passage out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. It's Luke's commentary on Paul's leaving Thessalonica and going to Berea. You have the distinct impression, reading through the book of Acts that Luke was on the scene when many of these things happened. So he is writing not just as a historian, but also as someone who was reporting on the events. And Luke said, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians." I love that. For all eternity, everybody would know that the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. "For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul had said was true." I think that experience had an impact on Paul. Now I'm going to circle back to that response in a couple of minutes, but Paul references their rather rough reception by the bad actors in Thessalonica. It's in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 and 2. It's in your bulletins if you want to follow. I think it's on the screens. Yeah, there it is. Look at that. "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." Now, the conflict of which he speaks is the conflict that I mentioned earlier, of the bad actors in Thessalonica who responded out of jealousy and sought to do harm to Paul and Silas. And I would say that for the church today, we have very little of that, at least for this church here at Bay. We have very little of bad actors acting out of jealousy. The church at large, and I would say this church as well, is in no way immune to conflict born of jealousy. It's just that I haven't seen too much of it. We do, however, have conflict by a microscopic opponent. And that has affected me quite a bit, and I think probably you too. And just as the conflict in Thessalonica contributed to aberrant behavior on the part of the people there, so does our present coronavirus bad actors. And it's my personal belief that much of the rioting that has taken place over the last several days across the country is at least partly due to pent-up CV-19 frustration and angst. Paul kept the believers, those in Thessalonica, whatever that word is. Paul kept those believers looking to God, and they followed Paul and Silas and their leadership. We are benefited in times of conflict by godly leadership, which Patrick has provided for 28 years. He has 28 years of pastoral experience, which incidentally is more than I have. And he's ready, willing, and able, and prepared to bring the same godly leadership here. Patrick's leadership, alongside of me, will be counsel born of prayer, meditation, and the study of the scriptures. And his job is to do as Paul says in verse 4 of this passage. In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, it says, but just as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our heart. I would ask that you would provide Patrick with a reservoir of trust, a trust that Patrick speaks to please God. And then you search the scriptures, like the Bereans, who received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul and Silas said was true. And in this case, you search the scriptures to make sure that what Patrick says and what I say is true according to the scriptures. Next, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." I assure you, you have already endeared yourself to Patrick and Kathy. Now, I would ask that as they share the gospel of God with you and their very lives, that you turn right around and share your lives right back with them. And finally, I would ask that you accept the word taught, not as the word of man, but as it really is the word of God. People of our ilk, Patrick and I, are notoriously scrupulous when it comes to our treatment of the scriptures. Patrick and I, Patrick had to jump through a lot of hoops to get to this point. Patrick had to go and earn a master's degree at a high-quality theological seminary. He was grilled by PhD professors, all of whom believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And then he had to be examined, both written and orally, by his peers, who, incidentally, are often tougher than the PhD professors that he faced. And then his peers got a second bite out of him when he moved from Locust to Waynesville. And he has already withstood still a third exam by his peers here in Florida to get permission to come here and serve at Bay. All of this to assure them and us that he believes the scriptures are not the words of men, but the very words of God. And if Patrick were not prepared to share the gospel and his life as well, he would not have subjected himself to this great hardship as Paul did with the Thessalonians, to bring them the word of God and Patrick us the word of God. Patrick has persuaded me. So you be a blessing to Patrick, and I assure you that he wants to be a blessing to you. The passage was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 14. You could take that home and read through that like the Bereans. All right, I'm going to ask for the commission. This commission is made up of three pastors and three elders. I'm one of the pastors, and Lucas is a second, and Matt is a third. And if you all would come up here, and then Tom Lynch, one of our elders, and Mike Collins, a second, and Tom Hubble, a third. If you would all come up here, please. And Patrick, I'm going to ask you to do something that many of us can't do. Take a knee. And I'm going to ask you guys to come here. We're going to lay hands on you. When you lay hands on somebody, what you're doing is, it's a symbol. It's a symbol of imparting strength and the Holy Spirit to the person on whom their hands are being laid. And so, Tom, would you lead us in prayer?
Please bow your heads and let's pray. Father, you revealed your law, almighty and eternal, through Moses, and grace and truth through Jesus Christ. We bless you for the fullness of your revelation, for the mighty acts of salvation, for the faithful recording of these acts in the Bible, for the warnings and the promises of the prophets, and for the faithful preachers who have sown the seed in our hearts. Lord God, we gather here this morning to witness and participate in the installation of Patrick Womack as Associate Pastor of Bay Presbyterian Church. Father, we praise you and thank you for your sovereign work in selecting Patrick to be a shepherd of the flock at Bay. Holy Spirit, bless Patrick with insight, compassion, wisdom, and love as he ministers to the congregation, to the lost, and to all those in need. May we be faithful in our prayers for Patrick, seeking grace for him to discharge his duties to your glory. Lord God, thank you for sending Patrick to our church. We are grateful for the love you put in his heart for you and for his people. We appreciate the unique gifts and talents that Patrick brings to the ministry of our church. Lord, we pray your blessing for Patrick and his family. Show us how we can be supportive and encouraging. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to conclude our service this morning by singing together Amazing Grace. Would you stand as we sing? Come and lead us in the benediction.
With thankfulness to the Lord and to all of you, now unto Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you in the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.
Dismissed. We have some free sanitizers over here.